WDR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green.
ABC News, I'm Morgan Norwood. In Washington, a major move by the special counsel investigating former President Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election. Former Vice President Mike Pence now subpoenaed to testify. In Ukraine, new attacks from Russia overnight hitting power stations across the country.
Russia claims it has cut off all supply routes for Ukrainian forces inside the eastern city of Bakhmut. A Ukrainian official confirming to ABC News that U.S. intelligence has been vital at helping Ukraine pinpoint and strike Russian targets using those U.S.-supplied HIMARS rocket launchers.
ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge. In the earthquake zone in Turkey and Syria, 22,000 killed now in parts of both countries. Syrian President Bashar Assad visiting a Syrian hospital full of survivors. A new updated scheduling system goes into effect today for Southwest Airlines, just weeks after the company's holiday travel meltdown left tens of thousands of passengers stranded. This is ABC News. The murder trial of a disbarred South Carolina lawyer continues as prosecutors suggest financial pressure led him to kill his wife and son to garner sympathy and more time to cover up financial wrongdoing.
Testimony Thursday included an attorney who said Alex Murdoch faced the prospect of paying a $10 million wrongful death lawsuit that was filed against him following a 2019 boat crash. Police said his son Paul Murdoch was underage with a blood alcohol level almost three times over the legal limit when the boat crashed, killing a passenger. The CEO of a bank testified that Murdoch's accounts were often overdrawn by hundreds of thousands of dollars. Attorneys for Murdoch say any financial issues have nothing to do with the deaths of Maggie and Paul Murdoch. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Carnival is intensifying in New Orleans. The first big nighttime Mardi Gras parades will roll down historic St. Charles Avenue tonight. Parades and parties lead all the way up to Fat Tuesday, February 21st. Morgan Norwood, ABC News.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. Civic Media.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Governor Evers wants to increase spending for the Department of Veterans Affairs by $24 million. $9 million would go toward new programs for veterans. Almost $8 million would be used to hire new nurses or give current nurses at the state's veterans' homes raises. The governor unveils his full budget proposal next week. Former Packers star quarterback Brett Favre is suing two sports commentators and Mississippi's state auditor for defamation. The lawsuits accuse Pat McAfee, Shannon Sharp, and Shad White of lying about Favre in the media. Favre has long denied he knew he was part of a plan to divert welfare money to build new sports facilities at his alma mater. In sports, the Bucks beat the Lakers last night. Earlier yesterday, Milwaukee got former Marquette star Jay Crowder in a four-team trade. Milwaukee sent point guard George Hill to Indianapolis. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner? I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Hey, Joe, what do you got for us today?
In reference to Lindsey Graham, I was amazed at his comments where he said, if Trump is indicted, there will be riots in the streets. Lindsey Graham was a JAG officer, and in order to be a JAG officer, you have to pass the bar. Was a JAG
officer. I'm sorry, he's a JAG officer? I didn't quite understand that.
Yeah, to see a lawyer head for the rat hole instead of acting like a person with a backbone. Wow, what a profile and courage, huh?
Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.,
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
From Oshkosh to Green Bay and points north, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Is there anyone who is not happy about this or is pro-bottle, anti-can?
If you're hearing one thing from this whole thing, let it be that you should not drink your beer out of the package that it comes in. The opening in each of these vessels, right, a cup versus a bottle versus a can, those two are very small. Aroma is a huge part of flavor, and if you really want to experience the beer, sometimes maybe you don't. So maybe those beers you can drink out of a can or a bottle.
My mind just went to, it's a lot easier to shotgun a beer than snorkel a bottle.
That is a great point. That's a great
just
point.
Just saying.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Happy Friday, February 10th. We are in for a great, fun Friday show. I am so excited, and specifically in, because you don't know, Jane, what snorkeling a beer is, right?
I had never heard that term before in my entire life.
And so snorkeling a beer is when you put a straw. So in the same way, the physics of shotgunning a beer.
Okay.
You have to open the bottom with a key, so that help the air helps push down. The air pushes down the liquid.
Okay.
As you're trying to as quickly as possible drink the beer. So with a bottle, since obviously you're not going to smash the bottle, because that sounds dangerous.
That does sound dangerous.
You put a straw in there. And then especially a bendy straw. So then the straw still puts in the air to the bottom of the bottle and helps push it down, thus snorkeling the beer through a bottle.
You actually sent me a diagram of what it is.
I did.
And my whole brain started going towards Egyptian hieroglyphics, because someday that diagram will be found by other people and they'll think that it was something really useful. You know, like it was a medical practice or something that people engaged in 2023.
Oh, very funny. I'm gonna get you maybe at our next, maybe not the holiday party. That feels too far away. But at some point, I'm going to get you to snorkel beer with me and Jane.
All right.
So coming up today at 11:30 this hour, we are so excited to have former Lieutenant Governor, former senator candidate Mandela Barnes is going to be in the studio to talk about his PAC that he just launched this week called the Long Run, which, you know, he is a runner, so it makes a lot of sense why he would name that. But I'm really excited because I think sometimes there's conversations around PACs that we don't always understand, as far as, because for him, notably in his campaign, he didn't take any money from corporate PACs. And so trying to talk to him about what is the difference between how they raise money, how does this differ from dark money and I guess light money, and how that all works. So he's going to be here at 11:30. So I'm so excited about that. And then at the top of the noon hour, Mark Sommerhauser from Wisconsin Policy Forum is going to be here to talk about his new report about the conflicting mortality trends that we are seeing both Wisconsin and nationally, that older people are actually living longer because there is more treatment and even prevention to some of the diseases and cancers that before kind of dominated and brought down mortality rates. But unfortunately, on the flip side, people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s are actually, the mortality rates there are increasing. And so talking about those trends, what the ramifications of those trends actually mean. So I'm looking forward to that. And then last night, the timeline of Brett Favre and everything that has been happening there is been outlined by J.R. Radcliffe with the help of a colleague, I think also from Mississippi Today, the reporting that she did, trying to talk about where we're at, because Brett Favre just filed a defamation suit against Pat McAfee, Michael Shannon. There's one more person in that, as far as, because he hasn't actually been criminally charged yet.
True.
And so JR is going to join to kind of break down the actual timeline, because there's a lot there.
It's complicated.
And like, I started reading it and I just tweeted it. I mean, I had to tweet it. I just like texted him last night and I said, do you just want to come on and explain this so I don't have to try to understand all of this? And so that's going to be at 12:30. So we have a fun first 2 hours of the show. But to kick off, because we are 2 days before the, we are 2 days before the Super Bowl, I thought we could have a little bit of a conversation about the stranglehold that the NFL has on us. And so this Sunday, it is going to be the most watched show annually. Over 100 million people are likely to watch the Super Bowl. I will be one of them. Jane, will you be one of them?
It'll be on. it'll be on.
Here's a question. And this is in the face of, we know in so many ways that the NFL is problematic, right? It is problematic in the way that how dangerous it is for players. It's problematic in sometimes the ways that players can do very violent things to their girlfriends and wives or even to others. And what seems like they just get a slap on the wrist. There's just a lot there, and yet so many of us, myself included, continue to watch, continue to tune in. And it just kind of brings the question of why.
Why are we so married to this?
Why are we so married to this? And because I think that obviously there's a lot of people who just don't think about some of the things I just listed off, right? They think they're just about the football, they're super excited about it. But I think there's a lot of people who can hold both to be true, that they really enjoy football, they enjoy the NFL, and they can acknowledge some of the criticisms and like the very rightful criticisms that the NFL has. And so, and it's such a unique thing to America, because this is not a sport that, unlike baseball, unlike the NBA, has gained, the same kind of level of fandom abroad. Like, it still is so uniquely American, and it's the most American sport, and it's tied, like, the NFL's done such a good job of tying it with the military, and so it seems patriotic, and like, so much of it goes hand in hand. And so it's just this question as far as, where do you stand when it comes to the NFL? Is it something that you kind of just hold your nose because you know how much you enjoy it? Is it something that you don't even think, like some of the problems with it, you don't even think about? And I bring this up because yesterday, going into Super Bowl weekend, 10 former professional football players filed a suit against the NFL, alleging the league intentionally, arbitrarily denied benefits and misrepresented medical information to keep costs down. And so disability plans, and kind of some of the background with this, is that disability plans for former players are relatively generous. So they range from $65,000 to $256,000 annually. But the players in the suit are arguing that the issue is not the level of benefits, but the difficulty in having medical claims approved, particularly the difficulty in establishing a direct causal link between long-term repetitive damage, including brain injuries, so if you're thinking about CTE, which may not manifest immediately. And so this, when I read this morning about this new case, it made me think of that the burn pits and what for veterans who have all of this long-lasting health issues when they were veterans and they were exposed to these burn pits overseas and the enormous battle that they have with the VA of trying to get to prove the link between those two things with their health outcomes. And it sounds like from this suit, there are players who are having a similar type of battle with the burden of proof for them to say that their symptoms from head injuries and other injuries are because of their time playing. And so and this is also the hit, I mean, the otherwise one in a million shot of the Damar Hamlin hit, but there is a lot there, and yet we still, this will still be the number one watched show, because it is a show for the entire year, this Sunday. And so my question is, why? Like, what is it for you that the hooks, what is it about the NFL? Is it the appointment viewing, as we talked about last
week?
That's
right.
And it's, unlike having to keep track of when the baseball games are and when the basketball games are, because there's so many more games. Is it because of the fact that you always know when it's on? Is it the storytelling because of the repeat characters? Is it nostalgia? Is it just because of who you grew up cheering for? The Badgers, you grew up cheering for the Packers, and the relationships that come with that. Like, I know for me, when I was living all over the country, and my brother's always lived all over the country, sometimes all over the world, our family bond on Sundays was to text in our text thread, talk about the game, And so, like, what is it about this game that we can't let it go? And Jane, I feel like you're not the target audience to have this conversation, because you kind of take it and leave it.
I do. I really don't. I'm just not invested in it. I'm not.
But I think the thing for someone like you and I, and especially in your career, you kind of had to be, because you needed to be able to talk about it.
Yes. In the early days,
for sure,
when you actually had to watch the game and it was much harder to, now you can get recaps instantaneously. Yeah. And so but I always faked my way through it pretty well. Oh, what a good play. Ooh.
But absolutely. But it's funny, because I just feel like now, certainly that's part of it for me, is being able to show up here on Mondays and be able to talk about it and hold my own in conversations. But I'd be lying if I said I don't really get into it while still knowing everything else. And so does the NFL still have a hold on you, and why? And if not, why do you think it does for other people? You can give us a text at 844-967-2789. You can also give us a call at the exact same number, 844-967-2789. What is it about the NFL that it has a hold on America? This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Hey.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gina Beauclair.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you.
We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's my name? Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
Here's your updated forecast. Sunny skies and calm this afternoon with highs around 28. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 16 tonight. Clear skies. Bright sunshine expected tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 41. Temperatures well above average Sunday and Monday with highs in the upper 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 24.
If Friday nights mean fish fries, we're your station. Civic Media for the Fox River Valley.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We got Jane Matinere on the board, and we are talking about the hold that the NFL, for better or for worse, depending on your opinion, I imagine, the hold that the NFL has on America. Because I bring this up, obviously, I first read a great article about this, that it's literally called the NFL's stranglehold on America, why we can't turn off the NFL. This came out on Vox back in January, very early January, right after Damar Hamlin's hit, and the criticism of what the NFL is now denying, but the reporters stood by their reporting of it in the first hour, basically, of that hit and Damar Hamlin's heart stopping. The NFL wanted to finish the game, and there was a lot of criticism there of cancel the game. And in reality, if you think about it, probably, thank God he's out and he's on the mend, but had he actually died that night, my money's on the fact that the NFL still would have had games next weekend. And it is a dangerous sport. That is, there is... you know, it's a danger to the athletes themselves. It's not without its domestic violence and other types of violence, crimes of the players and how that gets dealt with in the league. And yet, it's still the most popular sport in America and only in America. It's not something that is, but not with lack of trying. But it's something that is uniquely popular here, even though there is slippage happening as far as it's tumbled by like 18% as far as youth of how many kids right now are signing up to play football compared to baseball and basketball rates kind of holding steady, and soccer actually really starting to gain popularity. But it just... because I know that I'm guilty of this, and it's part of the reason I bring it up as far as how other people feel when it comes to justifying how much they still enjoy and tune in every week to watch not only their team but other teams. Is it the... and for me, I think it's about the nostalgia and the family relations. But I also think there's just a cultural, this is what we do. I know when I didn't live in Wisconsin, it was a little easier to... I'd watch the game, but I didn't need to watch the game. And I remember the realization of when I was really going to move back to Wisconsin and move to Milwaukee. I had been in LA for the season opener in 2020 because I was packing up all my stuff and getting ready to move. And so I watched that game there. And while I was watching it, I realized, oh, I will never again have to find the Packer bar in whatever city I'm living in, because every bar will be a Packer bar.
You got that right.
And it, the expectation of what are you doing for the game? And even more so, the expectation of what are you, like anyone, what are you doing for the Super Bowl? Which is where we're at right now, of Super Bowl plans and parties and prop bets and bets on, you know, and it's also the expectation that's been built around the commercials and Rihanna's halftime show. And so there is, they've made it so there is more for everyone, even if you don't care about the game, at least for the Super Bowl. But I just find it really interesting as far as this question of holding both things to be true. And yet, for the most part, the popularity still very much being there.
Oh, yeah. We have a text came in from the 608. NFL is a once a week, mostly on a weekend. And there are plenty of ways people can get involved, either through your team or national interest through fantasy football and gambling. And that is despite them treating players like garbage in a violent game. I know I will be watching.
Will be?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll be watching.
And, you know, in some of the stuff with the players, do you claim that there are, you know, do you fall on the side that there is, you have a choice, right? It's not, no one is holding a gun to your head that you have to play football.
True.
And that if you grow up playing football, you inherently know some of the risks, some of the like what the sport, how dangerous the sport can be. But really what that brought this up was the fact that there was this lawsuit yesterday filed because it sounds like, at least the claim is, the NFL is dragging its feet when it comes to disability claims from past athletes, and not dissimilar to, I mean, veterans for sure, but I think for a lot of people when dealing with insurance claims, the burden of proof of this happened because of I played your game.
Yep.
Or I went to your war. And instead of taking care of your own, because you also know it's inherently dangerous, whether that's what we're talking about, football or Afghanistan or Iraq. And I know that those two maybe are, it's a stretch to compare those two, but in the way that potentially they get treated afterwards, unless you're Tom Brady or some of these big stars that go on to get huge media deals to be commentators and stuff. If you weren't one of the stars, how you kind of are thrown away afterwards? I don't know. I bring this up because I know that I'm part of it, and so that I think lays the problem, not the problem, but the conundrum of those of us who understand it and yet still want to partake and want to be part of the culture. So. All right, well, when we come back, Mr. Mandela Barnes is here. I can see the back of his head right now. He's in the green room. He's in the studio. I'm so excited to talk to him about his new pack that he just launched this week, The Long Run. If you have any questions for him, feel free to text them in, 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Morgan Norwood. In Washington, a major move by the special counsel investigating former President Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election. Former Vice President Mike Pence now subpoenaed to testify.
In Ukraine, new attacks from Russia overnight hitting power stations across the country.
Russia claims it has cut off all supply routes for Ukrainian forces inside the eastern city of Bakhmut. A Ukrainian official confirming to ABC News that U.S. intelligence has been vital at helping Ukraine pinpoint and strike Russian targets using those U.S.-supplied HIMARS rocket launchers.
ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge. In the earthquake zone in Turkey and Syria, 22,000 killed now in parts of both countries. Syrian President Bashar Assad visiting a Syrian hospital full of survivors. A new updated scheduling system goes into effect today for Southwest Airlines, just weeks after the company's holiday travel meltdown left tens of thousands of passengers stranded. This is ABC News.
From Green Bay to Oshkosh and Point South, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Students at the University of Wisconsin in Madison who qualify for Pell Grants will have the cost of rooms, meals, and other fees covered. Chancellor Jennifer Mnuchin made the announcement at yesterday's Board of Regents meeting. The Pell Pathway program is only available to students from Wisconsin. No state money will be used. Democrats are still pushing to replace Elections Commissioner Bob Spindell. All 11 Democrats in the state Senate sent a letter to Majority Leader Devin Lemahue last week. They object to Spindell's comments after the November election, praising lower voter turnout in minority districts in Milwaukee. In sports, the Bucks beat the Lakers last night 115-106. Earlier yesterday, the Bucks got former Marquette star Jay Crowder in a 4-team trade. Milwaukee sent point guard George Hill to Indianapolis. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
We're rolling out the red carpet for all area musicians to be a part of Hoozles at the Lakes Rise to Music competition this summer. If you're an artist and you believe you have real talent to share, you're invited to check out competition details, then sign up for the second annual Rise to Music at hoozlesrisetomusic.com. Registration is open now. Brought to you by Hoozles at the Lakes, your local Civic Media radio station, Wiscountry 105.5 WIRI and Max Inc. Radio.
It makes me smile and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh,
oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Yes. Yeah. I love it.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. Self-monitoring is power. Visit managerbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We've got Jane Matinair on the board. And sitting in front of me, the one, the only, the former lieutenant governor, former U.S. Senate candidate, Mandela Barnes. How are you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. It is really good to be joining you here live in person.
I know. Last time you joined, I think, from the bus.
I was on the bus.
And it was Halloween.
It was, wow.
And I was in a costume.
Wow. Well, that helps you remember.
It does help me remember. I'm sure that was one of so many costumes and that you were interviewed by.
I'm upset that I didn't get to dress up this year for Halloween. One of my biggest regrets from the last year.
Were you told that you couldn't?
No, I just didn't have the time. I literally just didn't have the time or the energy to put thought into what a good costume should have been.
What's your favorite costume that you've ever had?
I've had a couple. I can't think of my favorite one. Some other people have decided what their favorite costume was.
Are you going to tell us?
I was a certain figure.
Were you Barack Obama?
No, Jesus, no. No.
I was an anger interpreter?
I was a public figure that was not myself. But, you know, different story for a different day.
Okay. So, do you feel rested?
I do feel rested.
Good.
I do. I still don't think I'm fully rested.
Yeah.
I tell you, like, the last year and a half was the longest year and a half of my life, like the most involved year and a half of my life, just nonstop from the moment I woke up until I went to sleep. It was, you know, hyperdrive every step of the way, literally all gas, no brakes for like 18 months.
Yeah.
So to have, you know, spent the last couple months, is like 3 months now since the election. Had a lot of time to rest, reflect. Most importantly, recharge. Now we're back in it. Now we're getting right to it, not taking any real amount of time off.
No, I know. And so I think I do want to switch quickly to the PAC, but just one more question. Have you been able to wrap your head around how big of a deal your campaign was?
So, I mean, I don't necessarily know if that's for me to decide, right? Like, I know how much it meant to me.
Yeah.
I know how much it meant, you know, to the people I was around, you know, the people who showed up to vote for the very first time, the people who aren't even old enough to vote. I just did a Read Your Heart Out event earlier today in Madison, and it was, you know, we had like second grade students, kindergarten students, and like if a kindergartner or, you know, second grade student comes up and like calls you by name, it's like a wild feeling.
Yeah.
And it's like, why do you know who I am? You know, it's like, I'm happy that they do, but it is just like one of those things where it's like, it just puts so much into perspective. So even if I did want to get more rest, probably just literally couldn't, because, you know, you got these young kids, 7, 8 year olds, you know, 9, 10 year olds, and they know what's going on. And if they know what's going on, they're too young to vote. They're too young to step up, run for office themselves. So knowing that all the work that we're doing is for the next generation, it's just like, I don't have the luxury to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, none of us really have the luxury to stop. Some people choose to, some people just decide that, you know, if a race doesn't go their way, then they just go home. They don't stick around, you know, whatever. That's not for me to judge. You do your own thing. You know what you can deal with, you know, what you can handle. That's not for me to decide. But personally, it's just, It's a little too much to give up, knowing the strides that we made, knowing where we came from to where we ended up to how close we had gotten, you know, the closest U.S. Senate race in 100 years. And if I were to give up, I feel that it would be a signal, like, to those young folks, to those kids who I talked to today, that, you know, it's just not worth it. Or to say that, you know, you don't win, then you just stop. And I grew up playing sports, and that's just That's just not the reality. That's not the deal. You got to keep going, keep pressing forward.
Absolutely. So because we only have you for this segment, I want to move quickly to the big announcement this week.
Yeah.
The long run. Shout out to Fear.
Yeah.
And all our friends over at Fear and running. I like the name. So tell everyone so I guess before we get into what the PAC is and what the mission is, was this an idea before? Was this always kind of a backup plan, or is this something that only has developed since the election?
Yeah, so the Long Run PAC, we just launched this past Tuesday. It's an initiative to help support candidates who are, you know, in tough races, candidates who don't get the attention that they deserve, younger candidates, candidates of color, women, LGBTQ, working class candidates, you name it, the list goes on. It's not a fixed list of candidates, but it is those non-traditional candidates, the people who might have a little bit of trouble. And I know with my race, it was just like a long run, and it is grueling, it is taxing, it is tiring, and you don't always get the outcome that you're looking for in a race. And the race isn't about what happens on race day. It's about the preparation that goes into it. It's about the training. It's about the people who believed in you from the very start. And I looked at, you know, us not getting the outcome that we wanted with the election, but it wasn't about that cycle on its own. It was about the long run. And so, no, it wasn't a backup plan at all. It was something that, you know, after a while, after sitting, figuring out, you know, how can we keep the momentum going? How can we keep the energy going? How can we keep the energy up? You know, you can't just sit down or else, you know, you stop running, you'll end up cramping up. And so we got to
like, just keep on with the metaphor.
You just got to keep it going. And that's what it was about. And, you know, we had the idea and said, might as well just, you know, if it's not me, then let's make sure that we can help other people who are in similar situations, similar races, similar contexts.
So because I feel like the word pack is kind of this big, mm-hmm. dubious, what does that actually mean? Because notably, you did not take any corporate pack money. So how does the long run as a pack differ from corporate PACs for people who are unfamiliar with how this all works?
Yeah. So, you know, corporate PACs are, you know, they come from profits generated by corporations. Look, and that's fine, right? Like some people take corporate PAC money. I just don't.
Yeah.
This PAC, the long run, is going to be funded like our campaign was, grassroots donors, people stepping up, chipping in $5, $10 at a time. That's how we were able to get the support. You know, we broke fundraising records in the state, raised more than any Democrat had, you know, raised in the entire state of Wisconsin, in the history of this state. And it was through grassroots donors that made that possible. The people who stepped up, who responded to those text messages when we asked for $3.
Those text messages.
You know, I got a news flash where those text messages are coming back. But seriously, it was the people who stepped up and decided, yeah, I'll donate $1. I'll donate $3 because they wanted things to fundamentally change. These are folks who were, you know, who are frustrated and don't often feel like their voice matters or don't feel like they have the same hand to play in politics as, you know, corporate donors or, you know, corporate PACs. And the way that they can get involved is by, you know, sparing $1, sparing $3, sparing $5 to help the cause because we're all in this together. And so that's the difference between the long run PAC and the corporate PAC.
So then next question is, what's the difference between the long run PAC and something like Run for Something?
Yeah.
Which is another similar group as far as training candidates, progressive women, people of color. And is there overlap there?
So Run for Something is an organization.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I'm pretty sure they have a PAC. Pretty sure they do. But they're an organization, right? They have a structure. They have their directors. They have their communications directors. They have their you know, state directors. They have people who are specifically, you know, going out, doing the recruiting, doing the day-to-day work. The PAC is to help support candidates. So there, you know, there are, in that regard, there are certainly similarities, but, you know, that's just the difference between an organization and a political action committee. We're not going to be able to do the work that, you know, a Run for Something does. You know, their mission is just, it's different than ours. It's a great mission, by the way, something I support. But
so it's something that could potentially, you guys could work together on behalf of a similar candidate.
Oh, they're helping to train them. There would certainly be opportunities for overlap. Certainly opportunities for overlap.
So I think, because I feel like we are back in, we being Wisconsin, with the upcoming primary for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, we're backed into this question of electability. Mm-hmm. And so as far as, because I know that is a core theme to how you want to support questionable electable candidates as far as how will they be able to do, and these kind of like insinuations of different non-traditional candidates of who we're used to seeing. And so, like, coming away from your campaign going into this PAC, how does that word land with you?
Yeah, I mean, we threw away the whole idea of electability, you know, because that was an unfair question that we got a lot, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and people question, there's like, you know, is he ready for it? It's like, I'm already lieutenant governor. You know, I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I've been in office for a couple of years now. But when it comes to that question, it's just like when people see or experience something that they aren't used to, they get a little hesitant. You know, You know, this is something that you aren't expecting. But, you know, like we said in the announcement, it's the candidates who are different that ultimately have an opportunity to make the biggest difference. You know, we had that whole electability thing all from the primary all the way through to general, like the question, like the commercial that said, you know, around where it just ended, Mandela Barnes, different, right? So you got commercials like that. And after that first debate, like that's what I used, or during the first debate at the wrap up, I used that when they asked if we wanted to clear up anything from negative advertising. I said, I actually want to lean into the whole different part because we should. You know, as society grows more diverse, as people's experiences change, as life just gets different and evolves, I think that we should, as a society, be more open, more welcoming, and embracing of those differences. Right? This isn't, in spite of somebody's, you know, life. You know, this isn't about you know, getting rid of one thing. This is about adding in another layer. And that's what this country has been about, or is what the country should be about. You know, adding new layers as time goes on. You know, if we get ourselves stuck in, you know, in one little box, if we get ourselves stuck in one place, if we never change, if we never adapt, then we'll fall. You know, it's what happened to Rome. It's like you just remain stagnant, and it's like it just doesn't bode well for any of us economically, socially, or politically.
Absolutely. We're talking to former Lieutenant Governor and former U.S. Senate candidate Mandela Barnes about his new PAC, The Long Run. And so what is step one? I mean, I guess step one was announcing.
Step one was the announcement.
What is step two? Like, what is you? There's no candidates that have been announced yet.
No candidates have been announced yet. So, you know, we're going around building the support for the PAC to make sure we have the resources to support candidates. So if you want to help out, go to longrunpac.com. You can learn more about the PAC. And, you know, if you feel so inclined, please support the PAC so that we can get out there and start helping candidates. The sooner the better. And so that's the next step for us. Then we'll be identifying candidates. If you are running, you can go to the website. You can submit your information right on the website.
And so this is going to be for national campaigns, not national campaigns, but as far as, is this only for Wisconsin candidates?
No, it's actually, candidates across the country. It is a federal PAC, but, you know, Wisconsin is home.
Yeah.
But we are looking to support candidates all across the country. We want to make the biggest impact possible.
And so then final question, as far as leaving the door open, because I think that's what you said in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article for the long PAC this launching this week, that future runs, not yes, not no. But do you feel like, not that you would ever be able to necessarily know the comparison, but I feel like, is running such a high-profile campaign, is it kind of like having a baby where you just forget, and you're like, I could do that again?
So, you know, you go through it, you know, in the end, you accept the result, and you kind of, you just replay in your mind, you know, the things you think that could have gone differently. And it's tough, too, when it's such a razor-thin margin, where it's like, all right, well, maybe if I would have woken up at, you know, 6 a.m. instead of 6:15, right? Like, you know, for 1 week, right? Would that have made the difference? Yeah. Maybe if I did this, or maybe if I did that. But, you know, I'm not closing the door, right? Like, and that's what the whole idea of long run is all about, right? Like, these are tough, you know, tough races to deal with. Taking a loss is not easy. You know, I know some people who just get up right away and decide they want to run again.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not there. But, you know, it's all timing.
It's all timing. All right. Well, I'm very excited to watch how this, the long run goes. I'm excited to support it. Thank you so much for being here with us today, Mandela.
Hey, I appreciate that. Thank you for having me.
All right. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Go by any construction site in Wisconsin, you're going to see a lot of Michael's trucks. Since 2014, they've had more than $1 billion worth of contracts with the state government.
A large part of those coming with Foxconn without any results in that area.
Do we want a governor who might be giving his brothers the contract? I think he needs to answer that before the election.
We'll just kick that one down the road. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But of course, Michael's corporation would get to build that said bridge.
Listen Monday through Friday from 2 to 3. It's Dueling Tangents.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gina Beauclair.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Sunny skies and calm this afternoon with highs around 28. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 16 tonight. Clear skies. Bright sunshine expected tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 41. Temperatures well above average Sunday and Monday with highs in the upper 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 24.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained, this is Civic Media.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We just had Mandela Barnes here. It was so fun to talk to him.
It was.
And one of the comments, I'll have to text this to him because he's already out the door, but we got this on the live stream, which you can watch if you want to see the actual video of Jane and I on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter at AskGoesWisconsin.
Maybe don't watch the first half hour from today. We just had some things going on in the background that were challenging.
It was, yeah, we had some... when something's talking in your ear and you're still trying to talk.
And you're not sure where it's coming
from.
You're
not sure what they're saying.
It's like having an alien in your ear. Anyway,
Joseph McClear on the Facebook live stream said, "To Mandela, I was happy to support you and vote for you this past fall, and I was lucky enough to meet and chat with you in Appleton last year. I know you have a bright future ahead of you, and all of Wisconsin will benefit from it. You will have lots of support going forward. Thank you for all that you do."
Oh,
so
nice.
I will have to text that to him, but thank you for the comment, Joseph. And as always, we would love to hear from you. So if you ever want to text or call with your thoughts on the topic at hand, 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. And it's the time of the week, and we're going to quiz ourselves
test time.
On the headlines from this week.
Okay.
And so I'm a little nervous. I feel like maybe, like we said yesterday, this week was kind of dominated by Biden. So let's see what some of the ancillary stories, and I feel bad saying that, because some of these stories were really big stories.
I know.
But they just, we didn't talk about
it. Sometimes they get missed.
It's only, even though 3 hours is a long time, sometimes it's not enough. All right. Question number one. After 33 years, which beverage giant relinquished its executive alcohol advertising rights to the Super Bowl broadcast? Well, without even reading them, I can imagine which one it is, but Let's read the options.
All right.
A, Molson Coors, B, Heineken, C, Anheuser-Busch, D, Remy Martin.
I have no idea.
It has to be Anheuser-Busch, because think of how many Bud commercials you've seen over the years. The Clydesdales and everything. I mean, I didn't read that headline, but I just have imagined.
That's who it makes sense.
Who it is.
Okay.
All right. LeBron James became the NBA's all-time leading scorer this week, breaking whose record? We know this one. Do you not know this one? We talked about it.
I know. There's a lot of things in my brain. Once I hear the name, I will know it.
It is former Buck, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Oh, of course.
Yes. The other options were Karl Malone, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan.
No.
But it is Kareem. And one thing we should say about that record is that when Kareem was playing, there wasn't a three-point line.
Wow.
And so he only in his 38,000, I think it's 38,387 was the goal. He only had one 3-pointer. And I think something like 6,000 of LeBron's points in that goal were three-pointers.
Wow.
It's still an incredible feat.
It is.
I'm not trying to take anything away from LeBron, but just in the remember that all of Kareem's were just 2 points.
Yep.
So, all right. Alphabet shares plunged after Google's new AI chatbot flubbed facts in its public debut. What's the chatbot called? A, ErnieBot. B, Bard. C, Polymath. D, Sergey. I don't think. I remember seeing the headline for this because it's basically trying to be a competitor to ChatGPT. I'm going to say C. Do you have any idea?
No.
All right, I'm going to say C, Polymath.
I'm not even quite sure what the question is, but I will go with the last one.
All right. We did talk about this. Who was the designated survivor during this week's State of the Union address? Labor Secretary Marty Walsh, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, Attorney General Merrick Garland.
It was Marty.
Because they definitely cut to Janet at one point. I saw someone, there was some young activist who was the guest of a Texan congresswoman, and she took pictures with Pete Buttigieg, so I was like, oh, he was there. And I think they also cut to Merrick Garland at one point. So
yeah.
And we also talked about it being Marty Walsh. So
that helps, too.
You know, to be true. All right, number five. Which video game broke pre-release records this week despite calls to boycott it? A, The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. B, Diablo 4. C, Harry Potter, Hogwarts Legacy. D, Star Wars Jedi Survivor.
Star Wars.
It's Harry Potter.
You knew that?
I knew that. I'm a millennial. I am not a Harry Potter fanatic.
Okay.
My generation is.
So hey, I have all the books.
Through osmosis, I get a lot of Harry Potter fandom updates as far as this stuff goes.
I have all the books.
Did you read all of them?
You bet.
I've seen all of the movies. I didn't read the books as a kid. I probably should go back and read them.
That was one of our first dates, my husband and I.
Reading the books together?
No, we went to the movie.
Really?
Yep, because I wanted to see if he would go to a movie like that with me. That was a test.
And he passed.
He did.
Did he like it?
He certainly faked it well if he didn't.
Did you like it?
I loved it.
Okay. Yeah. I love the movies too. Yeah. I thought they were really well done. All right, let's see how we did. We got 4 out of 5 correct.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. So we were right. Anheuser-Busch gave up its exclusive Super Bowl alcohol ad rights. So we will maybe see a variety of other alcohol ads on Sunday.
Okay.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was the previous NBA all-time leading scorer. Google's AI chatbot is called Bard.
Fine.
You know, one of the things we didn't get to this week, because I didn't know how to make it fun, was ChatGPT, which that is on my to-do list. Because this doesn't cross over in your headlines at all when you're reading stuff for the show?
No.
For me, I feel like it's everywhere. I feel like every day I see some AI ChatGPT, whether it can be on TikTok, it's in the newsletters I read and stuff. But it's a big deal. And one of the things that's fun that they did this week was have ChatGPT write a State of the Union address, but in the voice of different characters.
Oh, fun.
So like Cleopatra. And I forgot who else was on there, but because I can't do impressions very well. If I could do impressions, that would have been very fun to read. Because it's for how quickly it spits it out, it's pretty impressive. And so, anyways, moving on. The Labor Secretary, Marty Walsh, was the designated survivor. And Harry Potter, Hogwarts Legacy, broke pre-release records despite people wanting to boycott it. Okay. And this will be the end of our 11 o'clock hour. When we come back from Wisconsin Policy Forum, Mark Sommerhauser will be here. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
as the nose tackle for the green and gold. 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown. Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
What is dedication?
People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike and you didn't. I just created an environment where they taught themselves and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.